All right, Romans chapter 12 here tonight. Romans chapter 12. There's a well-known phrase that grabbed my attention the other day when I was praying through the book of Romans. And notice it says here, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I believe there's a lot of people who cannot figure out God's will because they do not have a transformed mind. I want you to notice that phrase there again. This is the phrase that really grabbed my attention and decided to do a little more study on that. But it says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word transformed is what we get our English word metamorphosis from. All right, you think about the idea of a monarch butterfly from a caterpillar. All of a sudden, you know, there's this beautiful butterfly that comes out. Literally, it talks about changing into another form. That's the idea that we're talking about here as far as being transformed by the renewing of our minds, being changed into another form. Literally, God wants to take the new nature and change us, the new nature that is within us. This is the same word that's used in Matthew 17 where it talks about Jesus being on the Mount of Transfiguration. It says that Jesus was transfigured before them. Literally, his form was changed into another form. His appearance was changed into another form. Now, as far as this word renewing, as I did a check on this, that the word means a renovation or complete change. Notice it says here we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. All right, so obviously our thought processes. Now, we're not talking about, I just want to set this aside in our thinking because of our modern way of understanding these things. We're not talking about Christian psychology. In fact, I believe those are two opposite terms. Psychology deals with the psyche, and it does not deal with the true problem as far as a person is concerned. There is no such thing as Christian psychiatry or psychotherapy or psychoanalysis. All of those things are related to a method of things that has nothing to do with the Word of God. What's another passage related to this? Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. So, again, the command is that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We see a similar phrase with this, and I want for us to take notice of the difference in wording, because that's what I want to focus on here tonight, as to how we have lasting change in our lives based on the renewal of the mind. Notice it says here, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. So obviously there's Jews and Gentiles in this church, but obviously the ones that are Gentiles, saved Gentiles, they're thinking we're not to walk as other Gentiles walk. We're to not live like other Gentiles live. In the vanity of their mind. Notice that phrase there, in the vanity of their mind. So the lost live a vain life because of their mindset. It's very important for us to see that because we're going to see a contrast here as far as a believer here in just a moment. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Again, we're talking about this inner man, this old nature here, and it says here that their understanding is darkened. They don't get it. They're doing what comes naturally in their lives. They're alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them. And notice also again the emphasis on the blindness of their heart. They can't see it. What are you talking about? I can't see it. Who being past feeling. They don't feel a twinge of conscience when they're doing these things. They're past feeling. They've desensitized the conscience. Having given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Notice they just throw their whole effort into living in sin. Ye have not so, notice, learned Christ. Where do we learn? We learn in the mind. All right, so again, the emphasis on the mind here. So the old nature in the mind, we're talking now about the new nature in the mind. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the way of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. again, Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Notice, corrupt according to deceitful lust. That's our old nature. And can I remind you, we still have that old nature inside us. We are all capable of going back into some of these things, and that's why Paul is emphasizing we've not learned Christ that way. We should not continue living that way. Here's the statement in verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Remember again, we saw by the renewing of the mind. But here we have a different phrase here, notice. We're to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and, notice, true holiness. Not this fake holiness, you know, where people are self-righteous and they think they're okay because they're better than anyone else. That's not true holiness. So again, God creates us in righteousness and true holiness. Now again, I want you to notice here the phrase, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It does not just say in your mind in this case. Notice also Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. From Ethan said, this was one of his dad's favorite passages. And this came to my mind as I was studying this. Notice it says here in Romans chapter 7, verse 15. Now, I want to preface this. I want you to consider. We're talking about the struggle that believers have that an unbeliever does not have. An unbeliever does not struggle in these kinds of things. They just do, you know, whatever they think is okay. Why? Because their conscience, as we have seen, has been desensitized. Now, from verse 15 on, notice, that which I do, I allow not. I don't want to do some of the things I do. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Notice, he's with the struggle in his life, he says, you know, the law is obviously good because it's pointing out the problem that I have in my life. Now, verse 17 says, now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. That's that old sin nature that we still battle with. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And we're going to continue dealing with this flesh until the day we stand before Jesus Christ. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Again, this battle with the flesh. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. So this new nature that I have wants to do what God says. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. Notice that. It's warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who, not what? Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not what, it's not a patch, it's not a program, it's a person. Notice again, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Now, here's what I want you to consider here. The battle is won or lost, you notice here, in the mind. That's why the Bible tells us that we need a renewing of the mind. I want to point out here, and I'm not drawing from psychology with this. There are two aspects of the mind. The conscious mind, what we call the short-term memory, and also the subconscious mind. I don't like those terms. I'm just so that you know what I'm talking about here. I'm using the terms that we're familiar with. I'm going to show you again what the Bible speaks of as far as this. The conscious mind is the short-term memory. The subconscious mind is the long-term memory. Here's why I believe so many times we lose the battle with some of this. We focus on our conscious thoughts, but we don't renew the subconscious mind. And again, I don't like that term. I'm going to show you here in a moment. Notice me, Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Again, I want for us to understand what we're talking about here. So we're going to take the psychological term and we're going to replace it with the Bible term. Notice here it says in Matthew chapter 12, as Jesus is talking about thoughts, he's confronting these religious leaders and so on as far as the wickedness. And in the context, this is blaspheming of the Spirit of God because of, saying that, Satan is casting out, Jesus is casting out devils by Satan and so on. And so literally they're blaspheming the Holy Spirit by applying to Satan something that the Holy Spirit does. Notice it says here in verse 34, O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. This is also mentioned in Luke 6:45. I want you to notice here it says, in fact, I think there's a slight different wording there, if I remember right. Luke chapter 6 and verse 45. May I read that for you here? Luke chapter 6 and verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Now, I want you to think about something here. We often speak before we think, right? We often say that. We speak before we think. But is that actually true? We speak before our conscious mind. Our short-term memory thinks about it. But in reality, we're already thinking about it from what they call the subconscious mind, the spirit of the mind. Here's what I'm emphasizing here. Those things are stored in the heart. Notice we bring forth things that are stored, that are treasured in the heart. Now, I did a study of that word treasure here. Very interesting. It's the Greek word that we get thesaurus from. What is a thesaurus? It is a treasury of words. Very interesting when you think about this context, he's talking about speaking. So we're talking about a treasury of words. Now, I want you to think about where we're talking about this word treasure here. It's talking about a place where things are collected and laid up. And let me just say this. We treasure things good and bad. So what do we have in the treasure, the storehouse? We're talking about what is commonly called the subconscious, what the Bible calls the spirit of the mind. There's a spirit in our mind that is, again, commonly called the subconscious. Again, I want for us to understand what I'm talking about here. But this treasure is a place where valuables are kept. Again, it's a storehouse. We literally have a storehouse in our mind. Maybe that's the phrase that I like, the spirit of the mind. I want you to think about this as we think about the short-term memory and the long-term memory. It's very interesting. Proverbs 20, verse 27 says this, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. When you think about this phrase, this statement here, the spirit of man, all right, again, I'm playing on the phrase, the spirit of the mind. So the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Literally, God the Holy Spirit uses the spirit of our minds to do a search of what things should not be there. And let me say this. We often act on behalf of, or from, I should say, the treasure, the spirit of the mind. That's why we do things that we don't think about first. We're acting on impulse of things that we have stored in the treasure house. The storehouse of the mind. It's very important for us to catch this. This is why, all of a sudden studying this out, this is exactly why people continue struggling with the things in their lives. That they're focusing on their mental thoughts and not dealing with what's already been stored in the treasure house from birth on. Literally, we have a storehouse that we put in there. And I'll talk about that here in a moment. Again, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. It's like God lights a candle, searching all the inward parts of the belly, all of the inner parts of our being. Now, here's some evidence for the spirit of the mind or the storehouse that of the mind. First of all, we have habits that we do without thinking. We all have all kinds of habits that we do without even taking a thought. You know, there's things, just we get ready every day. When we just go through routine things, we don't actually stop and think about. That tells us we have a storehouse, a treasure there that we have our habits. That, you know, it produces habits, and I'll talk about here in a moment how that takes place. Also, the Bible talks about a root of bitterness springing up. Let me ask you, can you see a root? A root is where? Underground. You can't see the root, but you can see what the root produces. So we see here that there's a hidden part of the mind that, notice, this root of bitterness can be there. Why? Because of hurt, pain in the past. And so there's that root of bitterness that springs up. And what's interesting is the Bible talks about it, thereby defiling many. So again, we have this root of bitterness. We have these roots of emotions and so on that constantly spring up. Why? Because they're still in the spirit of the mind. Also, trying to remember information that we have forgotten. You know, as you get older, you deal with this a little more often because you have more in the storehouse, the treasure, than you do in your conscious mind, right? Okay, maybe it's just me. Here's the reality. It's like, you know this person's name, but you're having trouble pulling up the file. You're having trouble finding the file back in the treasure house, the storehouse, the filing cabinet, whatever you want to call it. So that's why I love being an independent Baptist. Hey, brother, it's good to see you. Hey, sister, it's good to see you again. So that way you don't have to remember. But here's what I want you to, as I was doing some reading on this, you think about the word remember. There's a prefix to that. What's the root word of remember? Member. Okay, so you're doing something again. Literally, the word remember, from what I read today, literally means to reassemble a member. We're putting some information back together. We're pulling information up from the spirit of the mind, the treasure house, the storehouse, and trying to bring it back up into our conscious memory, our short-term memory. So how are things stored or treasured in the spirit of the mind? First of all, through an emotional response. When we're dealing with emotions, it's tucked away in the storehouse. And let me point out something here. This is exactly what our media is doing in our culture today. They're trying to put some emotion in, well, you need to get this COVID vaccine because look at all the people that are dying. And because you're unvaccinated, you're a threat to... There's an emotional response. They're trying to get us to have emotion into these things. Also, another way you put it in the spirit of the mind, the treasure house, is through repetition. Constantly repeating things over and over and over again. That's why they apply music to a lot of this stuff. If there's music, you're walking through the store, you have not heard this song for ages, and all of a sudden you find yourself singing along. Wait a minute, why am I singing that song, that wicked, wicked song? I was a Christian teenager, and they would crank up the rock music during the lunch hour as we're sitting in the gym. And I am shocked at how many times, I mean, this was when I was in junior high. I'm shocked at how many times I'll walk through the store and they'll have some of these oldies playing, and I'm in my mind at least, I'm thinking about what the words are. It's like, God help me, God forgive me. But again, this repetition, hearing it over and over and over again, and so they add this tune to it, and it's easier to remember it as it's repeated. Also, another way is trauma. Traumatic events in our lives tuck away these things, these memories, in the treasure house. Now, I want you to listen carefully to this verse in Psalm 51. This is God dealing with David here as he's repenting of his sin. Listen to this statement. I want to make a distinction between two statements that are found in this verse. I've never caught this before. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, plural. Did you catch that? God desires truth in the inward parts, in our inward man. Now again, we have more than one part of us, body, soul, and spirit, as they commonly say, but the Bible says it's spirit, soul, and body. So we have the inward parts where God desires truth. But listen to this. And in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. I have never caught that distinction before reading and praying through Psalm 51. Notice David talks about God desiring truth in the inward parts, plural, and, as in a contrast almost, In the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Singular, hidden part. I believe, as I've studied this out, that's speaking of the spirit of the mind. Now, how do you renew your mind? Again, the command is given us to us in more than one place. Renew your mind. Renew the spirit of your mind. First of all, notice with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. On this context of charity, God's agape type of love, self-sacrificing love, there's a very interesting verse here as far as thoughts. Notice it says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Again, the context is charity, but here's the thought that I want you to notice here as far as the mind. Verse 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Here's the first thing I've noticed in Scripture here, that first thing we must do is put away childish things. Now, here's why I say this. Again, if from birth, through our childhood years, we're having trauma, we're having various things, repetition in school and all those things, we're tucking things away in our storehouse, in the spirit of the mind. That's why you have some adults that do not know how to act like adults. I don't know how many times on a FedEx route, I had adult grown men, we're not even talking about 18-year-olds, adult men who are waiting for their latest video game and would not wait for me to come out of the truck. They'd meet me at the truck door and say to me, "Wow, I've been waiting for this game." My thought is, grow up, man, grow up. Not only that, but they'll spend hundreds of dollars on these gaming chairs. I don't like moving those things. They're not light in many cases. I mean, you figured out what it is. I mean, on the outside of the box is a gaming chair. They're spending hundreds of dollars on their video games. Now, we never allowed our sons to use them without restraint. We controlled how much they were allowed to use a video game. Why? Because I don't want their mind to go mush because we've made it to the next level. Oh, wow, I'm sure there's going to be prizes for that in heaven. Put away childish things. Here's the reality of it. We have childish things in our storehouse, the treasury of our mind, and we need to put those things away when we are considered an adult. And let me just say this. Some reach adulthood probably in many cases earlier than their age because they know how to deal with the things in the mind. Again, some people still act like a child. They never grew up mentally. And I'm not talking about a mental disability. They never grow up mentally because their mind is still pulling out that treasure from childhood. They've not changed their way of thinking. Second of all, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. How to renew the mind? We must bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We must bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Now, here's what I want you to understand this. As we go into this passage, I want you to think about this. We have this treasure of the mind. We have this storehouse. This treasure that's back there that our conscious mind pulls up every once in a while. Now, here's what I want you to consider. In that treasury, we see some strongholds. All right? Think about that as we're reading this passage here. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. All right, so this is a spiritual battle, not a physical battle. You know, I can't go out and buy some weapons in order to deal with this battle, this spiritual battle that's going on in the inner man. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, fleshly. But notice, mighty through God, here's the phrase, to the pulling down of strongholds. Pulling down strongholds. And I think it's interesting, as you read the book of Judges, the early chapters, it says Judah and all these tribes, they were not able to cast out certain Canaanites, Canaanite groups or whatever. They were not able. Now, wait a minute. I thought God told them to do that. If God told them to do that, then they should have been able to do that. So what happened? There were strongholds in their thinking that kept them in bondage to the Canaanites and literally led them into, judgment of God and so on. Here's the statement in verse 5 then. Casting down imaginations. Where do imaginations take place? Obviously in the mind. And notice every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Again, these thoughts that need to be dealt with. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, I want to point out here how this works. Again, we have this treasure store in the spirit of our mind. I'm trying to get my mind out, away from this psychological term. So we have this treasure house, the spirit of the mind. All right, so here's what happens in our day-to-day living. Something will trigger a memory. And all of a sudden, our mind, short-term memory, pulls up something from the past. And all of a sudden, we're thinking about something, and here's the point. All right, so in our treasury, we have good things and bad things. Here's what's supposed to happen in our thinking, in our thought process. When good things come up, God allows us to continue dwelling on those things. When bad things come up out of our treasure house, the treasury, we are immediately supposed to bring those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. How do we do that? Replace that thought and file something else in its place. Now, here's what I want you to notice here. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren," this has been transforming to, as far as I'm thinking some of these things. I trust it's helping you as much as it helped me this week. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true." All right, so we have to ask, is it true or is it not true? Is it whatsoever is honest or is it dishonest? Whatsoever is just, what is fair and equal? It talks about, carries the idea of justice, doing what is right. All right, so whatsoever things are pure. All right, so if it's not pure, then guess what we're supposed to do with it? Take it captive to the obedience of Christ and replace that impure thought. Whatsoever is lovely. Whatsoever is of good report, if there be any virtue or something that is virtuous, and if there be any praise, anything that is praiseworthy, think on these things. Here's the point. When that thought comes up that is not right, then I am supposed to replace that thought by bringing it captive and replacing it with something that God says to dwell in your mind, your thoughts. Here's how I believe this takes place. We need to focus our mind on God and what pleases Him. As far as anxiety, let's just use that as an illustration tonight. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee." In other words, we're keeping our mind and our focus on Him. Why? Because He trusteth in Thee. So we're supposed to bring every thought captive and even replace the bad thoughts in the treasure of the mind, the spirit of the mind. Something else, notice Matthew 22. How else do we renew our mind? Love God with all of your mind. Wait a minute, how can I do that? Well, let me just point it out this way. The Bible very clearly says we're supposed to love God with all of our spirit, all of our heart, our soul, and our mind. All right, so we'll look at that here exactly in a moment. As we go through our day, how in the world can you focus on loving God and concentrate on your work at the same time? Here's how. You love God so much that you're going to do something in your job that day to honor and glorify Him. Notice it says here in verse 34, "When the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment of the law?' Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God,'" notice this, "'with all," not part, "all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy," notice, "mind." All right, so if we have a conscious mind, the short-term memory, and we have a treasure, spirit of the mind, then guess what? All of our mind. In other words, I'm supposed to, anything that has a love for this world, I'm supposed to replace with a love for God, because I can't love God with all of my mind unless I replace that in the treasury. So you notice again here, he emphasizes, and then he says, this is the first and great commandment. So in other words, everything I do is to be done out of love for God. All of my heart, all of my soul, all of my mind. The soul, of course, is the mind or the intellect. So we have the intellect and we also have the spirit of the mind. So I want to make that contrast here. So in other words, our short-term memory we could call our intellect and so on. Emotions and will. The soul is related to our five senses. Our five senses allow our soul to interact with our surroundings. Oh, that bread smells so good. Oh, what did I just hear? Again, these senses that God gave to us allows us to interact with our surroundings. So loving God with all of our mind. Now, last of all, notice meditating on the Word of God. Now, there's two types of meditation. I'm saying this because there's confusion over what meditation is today because of Eastern style meditation out of Hinduism and Buddhism. You don't believe me? You do a check on how many so-called Christian ministries will use terminology related to the New Age movement and all that. There's a lot of confusion in relation to meditation. Eastern meditation says I'm to empty my mind. In other words, I'm passive. And sometimes it's even called an altered state of consciousness. That is dangerous. In fact, 1 Peter 1:13 says we are to gird up the loins of our mind. That's action. That is not passive. My mind is to be active, not passive. And literally, this opens a person up to communication with the spirit world. That's serious. How is this accomplished? Hypnosis. Please do not ever, ever, ever consider hypnosis. Here's why. They basically put you into a neutral, a passive state of mind, and they put something in the spirit of your mind so what if they tell you things that they shouldn't have told you? You've literally opened yourself up to control from someone else. Hypnosis. There's a lot of people who turn to hypnosis anymore to help them with their habits. Here's why. Because it's dealing with the spirit of the mind, the treasury. God tells us how to deal with that. We don't have to go to an hypnosis expert, quote unquote. There's a hypnotist in Lincoln. I know it was in one of the buildings where he has his van out there for advertisement out there along the street there. Also, chanting of a mantra. And let me just say this. There are so-called Christians who've opened themselves up by using these techniques. Love, 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 love. You just keep repeating it over and over again until your mind opens up. Peace, peace. That's dangerous. Also through yoga. Christian yoga. It's everywhere. Christian quote-unquote yoga. They're opening themselves up to the spirit world. But let's bring it a little closer to our homes. Passively listening to music. I just love my tunes. You just passively sit around listening to tunes. You better make sure those tunes are good for you, because you're opening your mind up to passively listening to this stuff. That's why it's dangerous to just passively listen to country music. Rockabilly music, rock music, it's dangerous to listen, passively listening to all this stuff. Why? Because we need our conscious mind to filter out this stuff so it doesn't get filed there. We're not to be passively listening to anything. Passively listening in church is not good either. So anyway, that's just an action. That's just an extra. Here's another one, closer to home. Watching TV. Watching TV is a passive learning. If you're not careful, the stuff that Hollywood and the news media and all that kind of stuff wants to get into your treasury, your storehouse, they're filing it there and you're not filtering it out when you passively sit there and watch TV. That's not right. We're turning it off. See, there, that's how you know if you're filtering it out so it doesn't get filed. So that's Eastern meditation. It opens up the mind to spiritual influences. What is biblical meditation? You fill the mind with the Word of God. But here's what I want you to understand. We're not just talking about the intellect, the short-term memory. We're supposed to be filing the Word of God in our in the spirit of our mind, in the treasure house. This is what renews or reprograms the mind. Literally, what we're doing with biblical meditation, filling our mind with Scripture, is we're unlearning bad programming in our in the treasure house. Again, here's what's happening throughout the day. We're pulling things up that our intellect, our conscious mind is going to act upon. We have to relearn those things. As we close James chapter 1, I understand it's getting a little bit longer, but I want to make sure we finish out this thought here tonight. Like I said, this helped me a lot studying this out and what Scripture actually says about it. I did not use any psychology book, counseling book, or anything like that. James chapter 1, verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now, here's what you understand. You have an idea of what you look like because you see yourself in the mirror, right? You kind of have an idea. You see what everyone else sees by this reflection. What he's doing here is giving us the application of the Word of God. Verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty like a mirror and continueth therein. In other words, the Bible has shown me what is not right. The Bible has shown me what I need to deal with in the treasure of my mind, the spirit of my mind. Notice, when I see it in the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. That's the only way we have blessing. Now, I want you to notice here, as we think about the application of this, first of all, the difference between Bible memorization and Bible meditation. I told you that meditation, or the things are should I say, are stored in the spirit of the mind through emotion, repetition, or trauma. Can I point out something here that Bible memorization, I should say, only affects the intellect unless you get some emotion into it, unless you have some repetition in it. Just simply memorizing this and you never think about it again, you consciously think about it, that's not going to reprogram something in our minds. We're talking about meditation. There's a difference there. Also, merely reading the Bible does the same thing. It's only including the intellect. I'm reading words on a page. That's why I urge you, whenever possible, to pray through the Bible. Why? Because you're communicating with God, and God the Holy Spirit has a chance to file that away in the mind. Psalm 1:2 gives us this idea as far as meditation. His delight is in the law of the Lord. That sounds like emotion, doesn't it? If you love this book and you're not just reading it, if you're not just memorizing it, if you love this book, it's going to file things away a lot easier in the treasury of the mind. Also, through the repetition, you meditate day and night. We're not just spending 5 minutes here and there, you know, in the morning, I got to memorize this verse because I've struggled with this area of my life. You're going to continue struggling with that area of your life. It's only intellect. Unless you make sure that this is filed away so that renews the mind, you're going to continue struggling with those things. Again, Romans chapter 7, who is going to deliver us from these things? In the mind, it's the Lord Jesus Christ through this book right here. Literally, God wants to, okay, the Bible word is renew, I should say, but it gives us the idea of reprogramming the treasure house. Put some new thoughts there. So that along the way throughout life, you're pulling up Bible thoughts and not this wicked stuff from the past. Something wicked comes up from your past? Well, there's a thought I got to take care of, Lord. I'm going to file it away. Here's what the Bible says about that. Take control of the mind. Literally, the thoughts. Why? Because God says, take everything captive and bring it to obedience of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you help us to consider these things. Lord, thank you for showing me some things that I've never really considered as far as Scripture in the mind. Lord, I pray that you help us to have the desire to renew our mind. And Paul says in Ephesians, to renew the spirit of our mind. Lord, there's an old nature that we still have. And Lord, that old nature filed some things away in the treasury that needs to be replaced. So Lord, help us to replace those things with your truth. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.